As we heard earlier, this is the anniversary Sunday celebration for Crosslinks. And it's a great ministry that we have here in this church. And today is this opportunity to rejoice and to celebrate all that's done by this group and the essential help that's given by the leaders and the helpers. And at the second service, a number of people from Crosslinks will be taking part in that service. And I'll be sharing a story from Jacob, how he lay down on a stone pillow. And he had this dream of a stairway to heaven. He was running away, having cheated and lied his way through life. A trickster, his mother's favorite, not someone particularly good or nice to be with. Yet God reached into his situation in a remarkable way as he slept on the ground with a stone pillow. And God valued him and saw him beyond all his foolery. And he understood, God understood, that this was a man that he could reach out to, and that he was able to come to him in a way that others couldn't. And I thought it might be helpful today to just take a little time to examine how churches and each one of us should treat disabled people. It's a sensitive subject and not one we should ignore just because it is sensitive. But with your agreement, I'd just kind of like to spend a few minutes exploring our attitudes, the obstacles, perhaps the need to change hearts, and certainly to look at the blessings that come as we treat everyone the same, regardless of their physical or mental ability. And the message this morning, I've drawn quite heavily on the writing of a woman called Fiona McCabe. And Fiona comes from the charity Through the Roof. It's a charity that started in 1996 with a small grant from the American organization Johnny and Friends. And some of you might remember Johnny Erickson. And some of you may have read her books and been inspired and challenged by her writing. And Through the Roof's vision is to make the good news of the Christian message accessible to all. In Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3, we read, "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." When we encounter a visibly disabled person, how often is our response something like, "Oh, that's sad. How terrible. What an awful position to be in. Poor person." For many able-bodied people, that's certainly one of our responses. Not that we would ever dream of saying it out loud, although some do. I'm going to just stop and tell you a story I had this week. I didn't intend to tell you this story. I was at the Conservative Party conference, and there was an exhibition stand from a charity working with HIV and AIDS. And an older woman, not too old, but an older woman, came up and touched one of the workers. And she said, "Do you all have it?" And she thought that she was engaging and reaching out and understanding a difficult situation. And she didn't understand at all. Maybe it's hard to admit how we feel inside. Disabled people perhaps have little beauty or majesty to attract us. We so often feel sorry and esteem them not. And perceiving disabled people in this way also leads to other reactions. And we end up harboring kind of unrealistic ideas about how brave they are, or perhaps we feel guilty about having some advantage over them, or have some unnamed discomfort or even irritation, creating a desire to withdraw, to escape. The disability might intrude, introducing a note of awkwardness, and it feels difficult to avoid. But if you put yourself in the shoes of that disabled person, imagine what it must feel like. Every time someone sees you, you provoke that reaction everywhere you go. You see the pity in people's eyes. You feel the discomfiture. You hear it. It's all well-meaning, but it's patronizing comments. In all these things, there's a distancing of ourselves from disabled people, a need somehow to see them as different from ourselves. I spent a long time in the world of disability, and I said to many people over a long period of time, see the person, not the disability. Speak about deaf people, not the deaf. Disabled people, not the disabled. See the person. But it's not that easy in practice, and I kind of knew it. That's why when disabled people are asked what makes life most difficult for them, the answer invariably is other people's attitudes. It's not lifts or ramps or loos or loop systems or a step on the pavement that you can't see when you're blind. It's the attitude of other people that is their biggest problem, their biggest difficulty. And that's why we need to ask God to change our hearts and not just our buildings. We've got a nice ramp out the back. It's not difficult to get a wheelchair in. That's great. But we need to ask God to change our hearts, not just our buildings. These reactions actually say more about us than they do about disabled people. That's the important thing. They come from our inner feelings, our inner insecurities, perhaps doubts about our own self-worth, sometimes some misguided value system that we have. And it is our hearts which are in need of healing, far more than the bodies of disabled people. It's our hearts that need healing. The Disability Discrimination Act, which I helped to campaign for in its final form, and it's caused many churches to make excellent improvements in their buildings. We've got a loop system here. It's a loop system in the hall, although I'm not sure it works that well. We've got doors that open. We've got a loo that you can get into. It's great. However, we know that God's church is made up of living stones. Each one of us are living stones in God's house. And physical adaptations alone are not sufficient. It's not just about the building. They must be accompanied by change within us as a family, each one of us. And that change is far more difficult to achieve. Disability is difficult. There's no escaping that. It's not an easy subject. But it is the attitudes of people towards those who are disabled that can make it so much worse. It might be difficult to walk down this aisle, but it's the way people treat you as you do it that makes it even harder. But if you look at the Gospels, you can see there very clearly that the universal acceptance that was offered by Jesus to disabled people, and you could see it over and over again in the scriptures, was no more common then in his day than it is today. Blind Bartimaeus was told to shut up. Lepers and other disabled people were kept away. They were hidden in ghettos. Disability was viewed as shameful, a horrible curse. And frankly, it's sometimes not that different from what people secretly feel today, 2,000 years later. And of course, that passage in Isaiah was speaking about the Christ, was speaking about Jesus. And he clearly knows what it's like to be viewed through such fallen human attitudes. He longs to heal us from those attitudes so that his church can accept and value disabled people as freely as Jesus did when he walked on this earth. Such a change isn't easy, it's not quick. But political correctness. We speak about political correctness. Get the right words, it'll be okay. The politicians say so. Well, let me say something to you. Political correctness is not an answer. It's just a superficial coating smoothed over unreformed hearts. And I guess you believe that. And I hear you and I see the body language around the room. It's just superficial. It's just smoothing over something, and it's not dealing with the unreformed hearts, not just in our churches, of course, but also in our country. The problem is that disability disturbs people at a very deep level, and it surfaces all kinds of fears about our own inner brokenness, our own physical vulnerability, what illness will come to us, what will happen to us, our own mortality, the very nature of our human existence. And that's why, probably, disabled people have been shunned and sidelined by virtually every society across all of history. It's not just us. It's been going on since the beginning. And it's also why becoming involved with disabled people can feel so threatening as well. It seems as though it goes against the natural grain. But I'd like to suggest that the first step to throwing off political correctness and facing up to our true feelings about disability is that we need to confess honestly that our hearts really feel something about disabled people. We don't like the demands they make on us sometimes, which is not necessarily what we want. And then we need to ask God to change us. Only when we can offer disabled people the genuine acceptance they so desire instead of the pseudo acceptance, which is the substitute. Only then, only when God changes us, can we offer that genuine acceptance rather than that almost patronizing pseudo acceptance that so often we see in our society. We've got the ramp. We've got the loo that, well, we so often call it the disabled loo, don't we? But we know the loo's not disabled. It's for accessible to people with disability. Even our language we get wrong. But it's not that. It's our hearts. And can God change us? Of course. But are we willing? We need to be willing to submit our wills to God, to follow where he leads, even if that doesn't feel at first very appealing. But it's important to realize how much God has to teach us through disability. He teaches us about our weakness, about our vulnerability, our reliance on God's grace. We're all disabled. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short before the eyes of God. Up to his standards, we don't live. In particular, we need to learn to accept disability in others means accepting disability in ourselves, because we are disabled. This is what makes it so hard, yet so rewarding. Very few people fully accept themselves as they are. It's kind of, we all want to be a little bit different from what we are. A little bit more eloquent, a little bit more musical, a little bit more hair, a little bit different to what we are now. Like to be a friendlier person. Want to have more friends, want to be different in the way we do things. We'd like to stop those habits. Most of us would like to be a bit different. Most of us struggle with the illusion that we have to be perfect in order to be loved, and that's just not true. And disabled people have the power to break this myth for us, to teach us. They model out every day that you don't have to be whole or healed or perfect in order to be loved. And that our true value is not measured by what we can or can't do. Our value is not based on what we are able to do, what we are not able to do. And yet, somehow, we find this so very hard to grasp. If we trust in God, we let him lead us down what looks like this unpromising path into a world of disability that we find difficult. And we will there find ourselves transformed by the people that we meet. They will change our attitudes. They will change our values. They will change the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about other people. They will test our hearts, and they will expose our offensive behaviors and our offensive ways. And they will dismantle our inner barriers, which keeps so many other people out of our lives, including God. And especially they will teach us how loved we are, how loved we are by God, just as we are. And the more at home we become with our failings and our limitations, the more at home we will feel with others who are disabled as well as us. This will help us to realize how loved and accepted we are in our universal brokenness. Discovering Jesus' heart for disabled people involves discovering his heart for all of us. That's why churches need to make more effort to reach out to disabled people, to receive and value them when they arrive. It's not just about what the church has to offer disabled people. If that's what you think, you've got it quite wrong. It's what disabled people have to offer our church. In the Gospels, Jesus did so much of his teaching through disabled people. And he wants to do the same today among us. And ultimately, I believe that learning to embrace and welcome disabled people is also about learning to embrace and welcome Jesus. The same feelings which cause us to withdraw from our disabled brothers and sisters are the same feelings that keep Jesus at arm's length too. As Jesus himself says, whatever we do for the least of these brothers and sisters of his, we also do for him. And the more we step out in faith to overcome our prejudices and our fears, the more whole and complete the body of Christ will become. If the church is to become the fully inclusive, accepting community God has always desired it to be, it must begin embracing humanity in all its forms. Without this, our church cannot fulfill its prophetic calling to reflect God's character to the heart and heart to the nations. We reflect God's character and heart. And unless we can embrace humanity in all its forms, we will not meet God's aspiration and prophetic expectation for our church, our community of believers. Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." God longs to see the barriers between disabled and non-disabled people broken down, and more disabled people to be drawn into the church and being genuinely honoured once they get here. For in many ways, they more than anyone else share in the cross of Jesus. Because Jesus' body was broken and disabled for our sake and theirs, for all of us. And one way to give the world a picture of God's love for humanity is through the time and value we give to those affected by disability. And in doing so, we are drawn into a deeper experience of God's unconditional love. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, in your eyes, we are so disabled. So far from your standard, so far from your aspiration for mankind. And we bow before you and seek in honesty to be open to a new way of thinking, of being, of valuing others, just as you do, that your church here may be complete and accessible to all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.